Let's turn to the 17th chapter of Luke. I know you'd be nice if you boys would sit straight up in your seats and face the front and pay attention to what's being said. You too, Dwayne. I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now this is the time of the year when the emphasis is on Thanksgiving. This upcoming Thursday, we'll have the National Day of Thanksgiving, which we observe every year. I'm glad we do that. But, of course, we understand that people who know God and God's blessing should be thankful every day and all of the time for everything and not just celebrate one day a year that way. But I'm glad that people do that, and so this is the time of the year when that is observed. We have in this lesson a case of 10 men who were lepers, and I hear Mr. Carlson time after time on the radio talking about the loneliest people in all of the world, the lepers. They are a shut out group of people. Yes. And they don't have contact or association with other human beings. They're ostracized from human society. And they are, no doubt, the loneliest people in all of the world. Yeah. It's a miserable state and condition to be a leper. Beside the disease itself and what it works in the human body and how it destroys the human body, and parts of it just fall off. And beside all that, the ostracizing from human society that a leper gets. Now these 10 men, they may have heard of Jesus, no doubt they had. And he came by and they saw him there. And they cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, if anybody needed mercy, those men did. And they were crying for mercy. And Jesus just announced to them, "Now you go and show yourself to the priest." This was a ritual that they went through, something that they had to do to be cleared if they were healed of their leprosy. The priest had to declare that they were healed, and then they, through some ceremonial cleansings and other things that they went through, could be received back into society. So he said, "Just go show yourself to the priest." Now they might have said, "Why go show ourselves to him? We're showing ourselves to you. But we don't have anything to go show ourselves to the priest about. There's no sign of any change in our hands and our feet and different parts of our bodies. There's no occasion for us to go show ourselves to the priest." But at Jesus' word, they started. And while they were on their way, they were cleansed. All 10 of them were cleansed. Don't you know that was a thrill to those men when they saw that they were cleansed? And they were on the threshold of getting to go back to their families and to home and among human society. Don't you know that was a thrill to those men? But you know they got so carried away with it they forgot to be thankful. They got so thrilled and excited over all of this that they forgot to be thankful. The emphasis in this lesson is not so much on thanksgiving, but the lack of thanksgiving. The failure of appreciation, showing appreciation, giving thanks for the unspeakable favor that they had received. But there was one among them, when he saw he was cleansed, he just turned around and started right back. "That man that healed us won't be gone yet. I'm going back and report to him and give him thanks." And he just turned around and started right back. He got back, he found Jesus, fell down before him, praised him, worshiped him, gave thanks. And Jesus said he was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. Just a lowly, despised, outcast Samaritan as far as those other Jews were concerned. Perhaps all the other 9 of this company of 10 were Jews in good standing, maybe. They belonged to the Jewish society, and they just went on their way. They never reported back. Sometimes thanksgiving comes from the most unsuspected sources. From sources that we would not expect that those people would be thankful. But sometimes they are more thankful than some saints may be. We need to be a thankful people. Jesus taught us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where he was teaching his disciples to pray. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That word hallowed means glory and honor and praise and worship and thanksgiving be to thy name. Jesus wants some show of appreciation out of you and me for the favors that we have received. And in the model prayer that he gave us, the very first utterance after we're in the presence of God and our salutation is over, and we're admitted into the presence of God to pray, the very first part of the body of the prayer is glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving be to your name.
Amen.
Going into his presence with thanksgiving. Now, I was just thinking before I got up here about what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, unthankful, unholy." We're living in that kind of an age. And let me tell you, the taproot of it all is self-love. Men will be lovers of their own selves, and that'll cause them to be unthankful. People who love themselves don't know how to be thankful. And they get self-sufficient, self-reliant. Brother Benson told about someone he talked to that told him, "I don't need God, I've got a mind of my own." Well, that's real self-sufficiency. I can paddle my own canoe, I can think my own way through. I don't need to appeal to God for anything. I don't need him. I've got a mind of my own. The very first thing that he said concerning the perilous times that would develop in the last day was that men would be lovers of their own selves, and then all these other things would come out of that. And to be unthankful produces some very unsavory things in people's lives. Said unthankful, unholy, proud, boasters, blasphemers. When we fail to recognize our dependency upon God and to give him thanks for every favor that he grants us, we are on the way to becoming proud and boastful and unholy. All of that is unholy. That's not related to holiness at all, to be unthankful or to be lovers of ourselves or whatever, all these things that are mentioned in here. Unthankfulness courts some pretty bad company. You read that whole catalog there that the Apostle Paul gives about the developments, the signs that were to come to pass in the last days that would make the last days perilous, and among which unthankful occurs, and you'll see unthankful runs into some pretty bad company. Bad things. And as I mentioned, the taproot of all of it is lovers of ourselves. When we begin to feel that I'm entitled to this, I don't owe anybody any thanks, I'm entitled to this, that's lovers of ourselves. And when we begin to feel, as many do in our day, I work for what I have, I don't owe anybody any thanks for anything that I have, I work for it. Where'd you get the strength to work for it? Where'd you get your help? Where did you get your abilities? They're gifts from God. God gives to all men life and breath and all things. And it is in him that we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing." If God didn't help us to be able to do it, we couldn't work, we couldn't reason, we couldn't think things out, we couldn't manage our affairs, we couldn't do anything only under God. And we ought to be thankful that we're able to do that. Amen. Able to manage our affairs, and able to work, and able to go, and able to do whatever we do. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. I've heard men and watched them when they said it, throw their chest out and their head up. I don't owe anybody anything. I worked for what I got, or I managed for what I got. Self-love. Unthankful, unholy. That's all an unholy atmosphere that people like that operate in. God told me right straight out one time that the very moment that I began to feel that God owed me anything or was obligated to me in any way for any sacrifice I'd made or any good thing I'd done or any service I'd rendered, that very moment I became unworthy of the very least of His favors. I have no worthiness only through Him. Now, these 10 lepers, the only thing they had in common now was that they were all ostracized from human society, and they all had leprosy. And that made them a group in common. Among them was a man that they wouldn't countenance at all as being among them, a Samaritan. They called them dogs, the Jews did. And they wouldn't have countenance having him among them at all, only that he was one of the number by the common malady that had taken all of them. But this one man that they despised, he was a lowly and despised person, even among them, no doubt. He was the only one that was thankful. You know, Jesus scorched those Pharisees quite a few times, I think. And in one lesson he gave about their neighbors. And the priest passed by the wounded man on one side and one on the left him. The Levite passed by on the other side and went on the left him. After a while a Samaritan come by. And he administered aid to him. Set him on his own beast. That meant he had to walk and let the wounded man ride. Took him to an inn. Paid for him to stay there and for his care. He said, I'll be back now. I'll make this ride here and I'll be back. And if you spend any more on him than this, I'll pay you when I return. Jesus said, who was the neighbor? Well, the lawyer, he was a high-ranking Jew, but he had to confess that the Samaritan was his neighbor. Jesus was teaching the man to love his neighbor as himself. And he just had to freely confess that Samaritan man was his neighbor. The neighbor to the wounded man. Well, Jesus scorched those fellows quite a little bit, I think, at different times and in different ways. But here I see him as this man comes to do worship to Him and to give His thanks for being cleansed. He said, looking over this man perhaps, and maybe looking down the road there to see if anybody else were coming, he said, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the 9? He wanted some tokens of appreciation out of his own countrymen. Those Jews were his own countrymen. He came to his own. He came to bless them first and to help them above all. But where are they? The emphasis here is on unthankfulness. One was thankful and he was a stranger. 9 were unthankful and they were Jesus' countrymen. The ones that he came to and that he sought to bless. Now, everybody has something to be thankful for. But many times the reason people are not thankful is because of negative thinking. If we would think more positively, we could count many blessings and many favors granted. But now here I am thinking about this one thing I want right here and I'm not getting it. And so I'm unthankful because I'm not getting this one thing that's right here before me. And maybe there's been hundreds of favors granted me down through my life. I'm sure there has been. But I'm forgetting to be thankful now because here's something I'm not getting. Just negative thinking. I think that, well, I know for sure, and I've related to you how that one morning, in a very deep trial that I passed through, that this particular morning I thought myself into victory on that trial by just following the trail the Lord laid out for me down the line. I blessed you here and I helped you in this and I brought you through this and on down the line till it just came on up and took in this present situation and brought me to victory in it. I claim I just thought myself into victory by walking that path that the Lord just laid out for me and the things that He brought to my attention that He had done. We can glorify God for what He has done and find Him more willing to do more for us if He sees that we appreciate what He has done for us and we're willing to love and serve Him in return and express appreciation to Him and worship Him. We'll find Him ready to do more things for us. Than if we just forget those things. And everybody has something to be thankful for. The vile sinner, if he just sit up and take a straight look at things, he could be thankful that he hasn't been cut off in his sins, that he's still in the land of the living, and God's mercy is still extended to him, and he's here yet on this side of eternity and has an opportunity yet to make his peace with God. He can be thankful for that. And if he'd get thankful for that, that'd help him to begin to take steps in that direction. Norman Vincent Peale tells about a woman that came to his office one day. She was in a lot of trouble, deep distress. She came there for counsel and for help. And so he sat down across the desk from her and he offered her a chair, and then he sat down over across the desk. He drew a sheet of paper and run a line down through the middle of it, and he said, "Now we're going to strike a little balance sheet here of things in your life." And he said, "First of all, I suppose that your husband has taken out and left you and gone off with some other woman." "Oh, no, 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 no," she said. "Nothing like that." "Said, he's a good man. He's a faithful man." "Oh, well, he must be in jail then and facing trial for some crime." "No, no, he never commits anything like a crime. He's a good man." "Well, I suppose then your house is about to be sold out from under you, and the mortgage is about to foreclose on you, and you can't make a payment." "No, no, everything's in good shape there," said we. "We're up to date on our payments, and we don't have any problems like that." "Well, I suppose some of your children are giving you a bad time, and they're in trouble." "No, I don't have any children in trouble." He was writing all the time. And when he got through, and he said, "Lady," he says, "it looks like it's your blessing so far outnumber any complaints you might have that you're on the prophet side all the way through." And he just sent her out of there feeling pretty good and comforted, encouraged. Nothing had changed, only just her attitude, her thinking. Just a negative thought that she had about some things that she wanted, they weren't coming to pass and all. So she was just really in trouble. Well, I say a person is in bad trouble when they get in that way of thinking. When they get in that disposition, they are in bad trouble. They need something to turn them around, change their mind. I've been praying quite a little bit of late about people that are involved in deep trouble and difficult things, that the Lord will just touch their minds and change the channel of their thoughts. Just turn their thoughts around and get them to thinking differently to what they do. I think that would be a great victory. Everybody that God could get through to in that way. Now the first chapter of Romans, it's a great chapter. The first part of it presents a grand picture of the gospel of Christ. But getting on down about verse 19 or 20, he begins to talk about people there that were outside of the gospel of Christ. They hadn't received the gospel of Christ. In verse 21, he said, "For when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." These folks were unthankful. They didn't glorify God when they knew God. They didn't honor him. They didn't worship him nor put their trust in him. And they became unthankful, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Do you know how that foolishness came in on them? It came right in through their unthankfulness, their lack of recognizing God and their responsibilities to the supreme God of the universe. They didn't recognize that. They knew Him, but they glorified Him not and were not thankful. I wonder why he mentioned that. Well, I think that's the taproot of their trouble. They were not thankful for their mercies, for the blessings that they were receiving from this supreme God of the universe, the one that gave them their being, but they didn't recognize that. And the last part of this chapter, the whole last half of it, clear, said he just turned them over to a reprobate mind and to do those things which were not convenient. And just read that catalog of things down there in the last half of that first chapter of Romans. See what happened to these folks. And it's still happening to the heathen part of this world. The pagan part of this world is still in that condition. And it's invading us, folks. Those very things that he described there that came in on those people are invading us. And we're becoming people that need missionaries sent to us. We're sending missionaries, many of them, across the sea. But my judgment is we need missionaries sent to us to teach us again the basic principles of righteousness and of truth and of holiness and how to be appreciative and how to be thankful. And how to honor the God that made us. Yeah. And love and serve Him as we should. Now these people got into all of this blackness of darkness that the heathen world's in today. Still prevailing among them. And it was because that they glorified not the God that made them. But they made them gods after their own minds and their own likeness. They made their gods to resemble a human form or creeping things. Paul goes ahead and mentions a whole number of things, flying things through the air. They made their gods to resemble those forms and set up images to them. But the tragic thing that they did, these were gods of their own creation, and they transmitted to these gods the vileness of their own human nature. And attributed those attributes to those gods, and as they worshiped them, it boomeranged right back on them and made them like unto the thing that they believed to exist in the God that they worshiped. I don't know if any of you knew Geneva Bailey. She was Geneva Ray. Later on, she lived at Guthrie for many years. I knew her first out in northwestern New Mexico, up at in the Ruthven Valley, just out of Parkview, New Mexico. I went up there, Opal and I did, to hold a meeting up there, and we run a meeting there for 4 weeks in that place. Well, you went along, didn't you? Grace was there. and her uncle lived up there. Well, Geneva was a school teacher. And to keep up her license for school teaching, she had to go to school every summer, refresh, on a refresher course. Well, in one class she studied, and this just about threw her. It just about did. It just about destroyed her. If God hadn't come to her rescue, she would have been destroyed. But in that class, they taught that God had not created man in His own image, as the Bible states it, but that man had created God after His own image and in His own likeness. And she said when she took the examination on that course, she made a high score on it, and it just about threw her. I think after she went to Guthrie, she was still having problems with that, and maybe had to have hands laid on her to be delivered from the effects that that had on her. There's a power about these things. And these people that fell into heathenism and atheism, they did so because they didn't glorify God when they knew Him, and they were not thankful for His mercies and blessings to them, and they went out and made them gods after the forms of humans and fish and animals and birds and flying things and so on, and transferred the attributes of their own depraved nature over to these gods, and it came right back on them. God just turned them loose, just let them go. And the heathen world today is in the condition that it's in on account of this very thing. And folks are hard to reach, let me tell you that. They're hard to reach. Those things have a power over people. Religion is a strong power in people's lives. It's a strong force. I told some men that I went to talk with in a state hospital about a man from among the saints they were having problems with, and they was trying to force treatments on him, and he didn't want treatments. So his mother asked me to go down there and talk to those men. And I did. And they questioned me about what the church stood for and so on. But among other things I told them, you're tampering with this man's religious convictions. And I says, when you get crossing up a man on his religious convictions, you're going to have problems with him. Those are strong influences in people's lives. And the heathen is hard to reach. He's steeped in blackness of darkness and in deception, and in his atheism, and he's hard to reach and bring out of those things. God's turned them over. Just let them go. They didn't glorify Him when they knew Him and were not thankful. Folks, it's a bad thing to not be thankful. Amen. You don't know what kind of trouble you may get into if you fail to recognize God in your life and what God is doing with you, and to demonstrate some appreciation and give some thanksgiving for that. There's a text in the 14th chapter of Acts, verse 17. He said, nevertheless, God left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God did that. If we have bounties, God gave them to us. I read about a coming up wheat crop, wheat harvest. And in this article it said that the scientists were out there analyzing the wheat as for quality and grade and so on. And they were saying such and such a percentage of this ingredient and that ingredient in the wheat. The weatherman was out there and he said, well, the weather's just been perfect. And we got rain when we needed it, and we got sun when we needed it, and it's just produced a bumper crop. We've just got a great crop. Some other fellow was out there analyzing for some other purpose. When they all got through with what their particular angle was on the wheat crop, a little boy that was there said to his mother that was with him, said, oh, Mama, says, isn't it wonderful? God made it, didn't he? Now, he had the right angle on it. Everybody ought to have been thankful. All those other fellows ought to have been saying, God gave us rain when we needed it. God gave us sunshine when we needed it. And God just put the proper amounts of different ingredients in this wheat. And everything is good quality, and giving thanks to God for it. Just a little boy was the only one that thought of that. In the 95th Psalm, in verse 2, he says, come before his presence with thanksgiving. And how we ought to remember to do that. And when we come into God's presence to pray, he said in the 4th chapter of Philippians, in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and I add misunderstanding too, it'll pass that, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, folks, God doesn't want you and me being anxious about things. He says, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Every prayer should be opened with thanksgiving and well seasoned with thanksgiving all the way through. And I stand before you with a definite conviction in my heart that if we do it that way, that we'll find God willing and ready to grant us more favors and do more things for us. Do we not all enjoy doing things for people that are just so appreciative and so thankful and responsive to the things we do for them that it just incites us to a greater output of energy to try to do more things for those people? And how many of us enjoy excuse me, folks. How many of us enjoy just doing and doing and sacrificing and denying ourselves and putting ourselves out to help somebody that never shows a bit of appreciation or expresses any thanksgiving or anything? Well, you just owe me that. That's all. We don't appreciate that attitude, do we? Well, do you know anyone who does? Is there anybody in here to hold your hand up and say, I enjoy this doing and doing for people that never appreciate anything or anybody? Well, I don't see any hands, and I hear a lot of complaints about people at large on this very thing. They're just not, they don't appreciate anything. They're not thankful for anything. What does that tell me? God made man after his own image and in his own likeness. And if you don't know anybody that appreciates doing things and making sacrifices for people, that appreciates nothing and nobody, and never show any tokens or express any thanksgiving, that makes me believe God's like that. And I believe that we can just count on it, that if we don't get thankful before God and walk humbly and softly before him, he'll just kind of lift his hand and withdraw from us the blessings that we have been accustomed to receive. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.